Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Here we are in a new location.
Our house.
Yes. Yes. You see, we have a road trip ahead of us. We're going to Kansas City to see the baby. Actually, we can see the babies. Because the local daughter has snuck off to be with her sister in Kansas City. So both grandchildren are in Kansas City waiting for us to come and see them. That's what I tell myself anyway. And then from there, we are headed to Springfield to watch.
Missouri.
Yes, Springfield, Missouri, for those of you who do not know the area. Thank you. To watch our youngest play his last 2 days of basketball. This is an odd place for us to be. We are definitely in a transitional period where one door is closing and new doors are opening. And let me just tell you, it is delightful and unsure all at once. There you have it. Yes. The truth.
We're having a lot of time getting freed up. Yeah, that's yes. coming up for us. So it's going to yes. be different. Hi, Robin. Hi, Jeff.
And Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Yes, yes, yes. Hey, if you're on with us this morning, tell us hello in the comments because we like to know who we're talking to. Listen, I love interaction. I have been known to even tell people in a teaching that if this is no good, that's your fault because you didn't interact appropriately.
That's right.
I say that because it is a joint effort, friends. Do not put on us.
I remember when she started
the responsibility
preaching,
she would of carrying this.
She'd tell the crowd, okay, I need interaction. So I know you're here. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah. It's just hilarious because people want to sit there silently and and receive. Which I suppose is fine. That was my receiving pose. I'm in receiving mode. Nope, that's not how it works. It's a body, people. Jeez. You have to do your part. Oneness.
At its finest.
At its finest. For sure. For sure. Well, enough of the small talk. Oh my gosh, we just have, it is like one adventure after another, and we are, what, 10 days away from going to England and
going out of country.
Listen, for those of you who are well-traveled, just give Shut us a up. Moment. Give us a moment.
Yeah.
We are not, and this is the first like trip out of our continent. We'll say we've been out of the country, but I kind of feel like Canada doesn't count all the way because we're attached. and like I said, last week, we can get to places in our own country, or it takes longer to get to some places in our own country than it does to get to Canada. So it just didn't feel like it was really like, you know, leaving the land. We were leaving the land and flying over an ocean, and I'm here for it. Hi, Christy. Christy's on. If I see your name, I'm going to announce you. Yes. Yes, it would take a lot longer to get to Connecticut. It's only 13 hours to Canada, and it would take me, what, closer to a whole day to get to Connecticut? Anyway.
Get to where?
To Connecticut. That's how I say it. Do you not do that? I do that. That's why I am the queen of spelling, because I change the pronunciation of words so that
23 hours.
I know how to spell them. 23 hours to Connecticut from Kansas.
And we're getting ready to go to a country that if we drive 3 hours, we're in another country.
Exactly. It's only going to take an hour to fly from one country to another. Wild, wild. So we're also going to Ireland. For those of you that have not heard, we are going to Ireland. We're excited about it. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about a few different things. I want to talk about the battle, the fight. Is anybody in a fight right now? Anybody in a battle? In a little bit of a squirmish? I want to read Psalm 107. And its title is Thanksgiving for God's Deliverance. And this chapter in Psalm is all about these kinds of things, like coming in and out of different battles and our response to that. And you can even like think of, it's easy for us to point to Israel being under the bondage of Egypt. I mean, really, the reason that they're in Egypt in the first place is because it was deliverance. God was delivering them into provision. And that's why they're in Egypt in the first place. You know, Joseph, the famine, Goshen, they're brought into a place. I'll take that as a yes, Robin. Wait, where is the tornado? Robin is communicating in tornado emojis these days. It's fine. So anyway, they get stuck there and powers are exchanged and they have new leadership over Egypt. And let's just say the new leadership doesn't really have a heart for Israel. And so they are turned into slaves. And they are enslaved. However, the space that God gave them, known as Goshen, is still a provisional place for them where, thank you, Robin, it's still a provisional place where like all that they needed was provided for them. And like there was no sick among them. It's just kind of a beautiful, and even like you can see the beginning of the book of Acts involved there where they shared all things in common and there were no needs among them. It's just kind of a beautiful thing. But what happens when God leads them out underneath a power that they had grown accustomed to? They've grown comfortable or even complacent or apathetic under the enslavement in Egypt, and they get out into freedom and they don't know what to do with themselves. They get angry with Moses and they're like, take us back. Because here's the deal. When we get out into unknown spaces, even spaces of freedom, we don't know how to spend freedom well. Mm-hmm. We are people that do far better in our minds under bondage than we do freedom. And so I think oftentimes we keep those insulating ideas and things and whatnot around our lives because it's familiar and we like the familiar. We don't want the challenge of the freedom. Before I start reading, do you have anything to say?
No, it just makes me think about when we think we have it so good in our minds and then God has something better for us and he shifts us and then we throw a fit because we're happy where we're at and we don't like the shift and then because shift happens. And
just had to throw that in there, didn't you?
And it bothers us and it ruins our whole ecosystem or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And even though it's better for us, it's gooder. We actually throw fits. And it's not good. We turn into the children of Israel, actually.
Right. We become stiff-necked and stubborn.
Yep.
I like what Lisa's saying. Freedom can be disorienting.
Yep.
That is so true. Freedom can be disorienting. And I mean, like in real time, I am in the space of like, I feel disoriented. That's actually a really great word to describe it. It does. It feels disorienting. True story, Jesus help. Let's start in. We're in Psalm 107, and I'm just going to read through this, and you'll see kind of like what's happening. And I hope that you kind of see yourself in this, and that we have an undoing begin to transpire for us, so that we can better embrace freedom and give up the yesterday's fight. You know, like God brings us into new spaces because there is now, we are advancing, and there's a bigger fight for us to be a part of, and all to put the victory of Christ on display, right? Like that's the whole point. It's not so we can wallow in what has been and long to still have that that old fight, but to move into to new land and to new territory and learn how to fight in a new way. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Maybe just take a second and say that out loud, because it's really a good declaration for us to declare you are good. God is good. Like over your circumstances, over whatever it is that you've got going on, God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe. That right there is piercing for me, because it's like he's redeemed us from the power of the foe, yet we're trying to put ourselves back under the bondage of that foe because the fight was familiar and we know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not elevate our ability over God's redemption. He's redeemed them from the power of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and they were thirsty. Their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. Others sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High. He broke their spirits with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. That's interesting to me, that line about God breaking their spirit with hard labor. This is like something, hey, Mike, this is something that is so interesting to me, because of there are actually books written on not breaking the spirit of a child. Yet the Father has broken the spirit of his children for our own good.
Yeah.
We create these ideals and doctrines, and we center everything around it and think that it's truth, and it's not. This is truth. If we would follow the biblical principles rather than the doctrines of man, we might get somewhere.
Yeah. It just reminds me of a you know, a little kid when you're raising your kids, and you know, we had six, and sometimes we would do something different, and all the kids, but maybe one of them really loved it. And that one would just fight back. And you just kind of go, okay, well, you go sit over there and you just relax and chill out. And then everybody else is having fun. And as that kid is sitting over there, he's watching and realizing, oh, this is fun. I can go do this.
I can stop being a brat.
I can stop being a brat and join in, you know, change is hard, and we act like little infants when it happens. And you know, it just was funny. I just got that picture in my head of our, you know, our kids growing up, and we were having fun, and one of them decided this wasn't for them or something, and you know, it was good for all of us, and they just took time to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
So
what'd she say? All right, verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. for he has broken down the bronze gates and cut through the iron bars. Fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. They loathed all food and came near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and announce his works with shouts of joy. Others went to sea in ships, conducting trade on the vast water. They saw the Lord's works, his wondrous works in the deep. He spoke and raised a stormy wind that stirred up the waves of the sea, rising up to the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melting away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like a drunkard, and all their skill was useless. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. Then he guided them to the harbor that they longed for. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Are you catching the theme? Are you catching the keys here? This psalm is offering us some keys. Like, we tend to be stubborn. We tend to be stiff-necked people. We tend to be really hard to move. And yet we can cry out to God in our affliction, in our storm, and he will rescue us. And the key in that on the backside is give thanks to the Lord because he is good and able. So for those of us that are in the space of being pulled out of a battle that was familiar to us, maybe you fought the battle for a long time and it was just the familiar thing and now it's gone and you feel as if something is missing from your life. Give thanks to the Lord. We look at that and we think that something is missing in a negative way. And really what's happening is there is a growing process that's happening, that he's brought you into a new space, into new territory to grow, to expand. And we expand by giving thanks, by offering praise, because what's established on the praises of God's people? His throne, his government. And we need his government on the earth today. And so we come out of battles that he has rescued us from and then have this opportunity to establish his government in that space, over that territory, over that domain. We take dominion by establishing praise, by drawing his throne onto our praises. And then we have his governmental expression over that thing. And it's when we don't tie it off, so to speak, with his government, with praise that is due his name, that there's still like this open door to go back in, to want to go back in, just like Israel did. Mm-hmm. When they were like, what have you done, Moses? Like, why have you brought us out here? And they longed for the enslavement that they had in Egypt over the freedom that they didn't know how to deal with in the desert because they did not rightly know how to praise his name. And all they knew how to do was grumble to his name. And because they grumbled in Egypt, you know, they held to the promises, but it was in a grumbling manner that they did so. Like, God, where are you? Why have you left us? Total orphan mentality. All right, verse 33. He turns rivers into desert springs, into desert. Desert. Ah, let's start over. 33. He turns rivers into desert, springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into salty wasteland because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into a pool, dry land into springs. He causes the hungry to settle there, and they establish a city where they can live. They sow fields and plant vineyards that yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them and they multiply greatly. He does not let their livestock decrease. When they are diminished and are humbled by cruel oppression and sorrow, he pours contempt on nobles and makes them wander in a trackless wasteland. But he lifts the needy out of their suffering and makes their families multiply like flocks. The upright see it and rejoice, and all injustice shuts its mouth. Let whoever is wise pay attention to these things and consider the Lord's acts of faithful love.
That last part about shuts its mouth reminds me of in Job, where God shows up at the end of Job and he just kind of silences everybody. Where were you when I did all this? Where were you when I created this and that? And because they thought they were in a super bad place and they knew better than God. And God was like, where were you when I did this? Where were you? You know, where were you guys, you know, when Jesus was thinking you up and he knew you were going to be perfect because he made you just the way he wanted you.
Yeah. Chris, you've been on my mind this week. What does he say? Just jumping on late. Yes. Oh, me too. I totally forgot that you would be there, Chris. We get to see Chris. Yay. I'm excited about that. That's going to be so fun. In a little over a week. Okay. So I want to also jump over to Isaiah 43. I really think that this is important. And this is something that God taught me several years back, and it has just really stuck with me. And I bank on this actually. Isaiah 43, the restoration of Israel. We're going to start in the middle of verse 1. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. The part of this that I really want to pull out to the forefront is, I have called you by your name. When you are in the middle of the storm, can you hear the Father's voice calling your name? Do you know your name in this season? Mm. That's huge. Do you know what your name is? This has been a big part of my life with God is him offering me a name in different seasons and having to know that name so that when I am in the middle of these things, you know, when I'm in it, anybody in it right now, when you're in it, do you know what your name is? Can you hear the Father's voice calling out to you? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I call you by your name. So in the heat of all things, yeah, in the tornado, Robin, can you hear him calling your name? I think that what we are entering into is going to be, things are going to get real. I really think that. I think that things are about to get real. We are going to go from what will soon be considered petty battles into, you know, real things that are happening all around us.
Skirmishes, fights.
Yes. And we need to know how to transition out of one fight and into another well. Mm-hmm. We aren't doing that well right now. We're dragging our feet. We're longing for that old fight because it's familiar and we were champions there. Listen, like, let's just be real. We like the way that we were there. we were able to overcome different things. And there's just something within our flesh that longs to stay put in the familiar, but that is not the way that God works. He draws us into new territory because he would surely like to have us take dominion over the earth.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to, Jeff posted, not will redeem, I have redeemed. And that's a good point. Do you know when you've been redeemed? Are you comfortable with your redemption?
Ooh, that's good.
You know, do you know when you've been rescued? Israel, do you know that I rescued you out of Egypt, mm-hmm. out of bondage? And now you have freedom, but you want to go back into bondage. You know, do you know when you've been redeemed? You know, and I think it's crucial to be in step with Jesus. So, you know, I've been redeemed. You know, I don't have to sit here and continue to beat myself up over past failures. Mm. I've been redeemed.
Yeah.
You know, Satan's best tactic is when we come to an understanding that we've been redeemed and set free, he brings up your past and he keeps letting you beat yourself up with it. And you have to let it go.
Yeah.
I could sing you a whole song about it. Just let it go.
I won't. All right, Elsa. It is. It's so true. And, you know, we need to make sure that we are in a body, in a community of people who are for our freedom. Mm-hmm. That we're not wanting to hold each other hostage to what has been done, but we are those who make quick agreements with the Lord in what he has done. And why do we do this? Like we elevate the very things that Christ died for to lord over one another. And we've got to stop. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop. We've got to make agreements with the sacrifice that Jesus made, that the high price that he paid. Can you believe this? Can you believe? I mean, God steps out of heaven, humbles himself to become like you and I, mm-hmm. takes on our sin. He's the great sin collector. One of my favorite names. He's a sin collector. He put to rest the issue of sin and death over humanity. And yet, we keep pointing to it. We keep taking out our little highlighter markers. I've seen if I had one. Taking out our little highlighters and wanting to highlight the shame points of our life. And God is like, I brought you out. I brought you out. Mm-hmm. I brought you through. Do you know your name?
Yeah.
Do you know your name? And are you willing to slough off your old name?
And don't be afraid to actually follow through. And what I mean by that is, you know, when the children of Israel were set free, they still had to walk out of Egypt. They just didn't show up in another place. They still had to walk out.
Right.
You know, and when we've been set free, you know, maybe we've gotten ourselves into something. We still got to walk out of it. You know, we still have to, you know, when we come to a realization, hey, I've been doing this bad. Now I've got to get out of it. Or I've been allowing this to my house. I got to get it out of my house. I got to take the steps to actually get it out of my house. Not just like hope and pray that it just somehow magically disappears. Cause I mean, God can do that, but I think he allows us to, you know, walk out after we've realized our freedom. So we don't go back into it. You know, you get rid of that stuff, burn it or whatever you do, realize you've been redeemed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a song. I won't sing though.
You can do it. She's been trying out for the worship team forever.
That's not true.
It's true.
Just our little joke. He always tells me I can't be on the worship team, and I'm always trying to prove to him that I should be. Listen, it's just, you know, I kind of think that it was an oversight on God's part that he didn't give me a voice because I have the passion.
She does.
But it's fine. It's fine. I'll work with Emmett. It's fine. Okay. I want to point to something that Acts 14 it says to us that I think is really important. And actually, if we're paying attention, this is a common thread throughout the New Testament, if you can believe it. In chapter 14 of Acts, starting in verse 21, it says, after they had preached the gospel in that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, however you say it, Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them, it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Ha! That's so interesting. So, like, when we think... That's because what?
It's
because
you love her.
Yeah, I know. That's because Robin loves me. Listen, I do play my part. I play my part. I do.
We're talking about worse.
It's fine. Back to it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It is for our good that we go through hardship. It is. It's for our good. And we tend to want to like avoid the pain at all costs. We don't want to look at the trouble. We don't want the pain to touch us. We want to continue to numb out and insulate. Numb out, insulate. Numb out, insulate. It's what we do. Mm-hmm. Hardship is the password to enter the kingdom. Yes, Chris, thank you. That's well said. But we can't avoid it. It is the way into the kingdom. If we want to experience kingdom life on the earth, which is the goal, Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray, he said, pray like this.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Graham Cook that said that he would get, God would give him a sign or a vision that he would be going through some hardships, and he'd get so excited, he'd call his friends to tell him he's about to go through something because he knew it was on the other side of it.
Yeah. He knew the promise attached to the problem.
Right. And he was so excited. I mean, if we took that as an example of how to act, I mean, our lives would be outstanding.
Yeah. But we have practiced avoidance our whole life. And we have to realize that that's not what Christ did. Jesus did not avoid pain. He did not avoid persecution. He didn't avoid confrontation. Mm-hmm. He brought it, right? Like, I mean, he was constantly bringing the confrontation, and he was a living confrontation.
He loved getting in the middle of our mess.
Yes. And so I think that for us to be able to really bring the expression of the kingdom to the earth, we have to stop avoiding the hardship because it's intentional on God's part. And we can't be content to stay in last year's hardship. We must move into the new. What is he bringing you into right now? What is it that he's sharpening you with right now? Don't avoid it. Go through it by hearing him call your name. This is the only way you're going to effectively make it through. If you know your name and what that sounds like in the Lord's voice, don't listen. Okay.
You've got to do something.
Right now, in America, we are contending with a prophetic history that is likely being pushed toward the false end of the spectrum. We could let that sink us.
Way to say that nicely.
Diplomatic.
Well done.
We could let that sink us. We could actually utilize, like, lay hold of that and grab permission to dismiss the prophetic altogether. We could say, oh, well, the prayer movement has crashed and burned. So guess we're not praying anymore. Not going to prophesy anymore. Well, you know, nothing good comes out of the church. We're not going to church anymore. That's what's happening right now. The exposing, the deep, deep exposing that's going on in the church right now is part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. It is. He is doing the exposing. This isn't just happening because somebody was capable of uncovering the dirt and that's just what they do. They're just dirt finders. They're not treasure seekers. They're dirt finders, dumpster divers. Do not use this as permission to dismiss the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes with power. Mm-hmm. And if we dismiss part of the gifts of the Spirit, we will not see the fullness therein. We need the prophetic. We need it purified, but we need the prophetic. We need prayer. Needs to be purified, but we need prayer. We need worship. It needs to be purified, but we need worship. All of these things are not to be dismissed because they were mishandled. Just because somebody was laying hold of the gifts that are given without repentance and using them as strange fire on God's altar is not permission for us to walk away. We have to walk through this fire right now. Mm-hmm. This is a hardship that God is bringing us into corporately, as the corporate body of Christ. What we choose to do from this point is crucial.
Yeah. He's allowing this stuff to happen because he's coming back for a spotless bride.
Yeah.
You can either get on board with being a part of the bride or you can get off, you know, and that being refined by fire is part of the deal, you know.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of the bad goo.
Yeah. You know, God was talking to me just yesterday. He was talking to me about, because we have a call to raise up martyrs. What that looks like, I don't know. We are like, you know, a hangnail into this thing and understanding what that actually means, because we don't live in a world where martyrdom is common. I can read the stories. I have the books and I have read the stories. And we read the stories in our Bibles, but we do not live in a world where martyrdom is our reality. We don't know people that have been martyred.
Right. Robin said yesterday something. She said, you know, our worst day is some people's best days.
100%. We're so spoiled.
So spoiled.
So spoiled. And, but what God was really sharing with me yesterday is like this, it is a call to the narrow path. Is narrow. Just because things are permissible doesn't mean we should be doing them. Because it's not blatant sin does not mean you should be doing them. You need to be asking God, what does my narrow road look like? My narrow road is not going to look the same as Virginia's narrow road. It's going to be different. But we need to know, what should we be doing right now? What will bless, what will glorify who God is in my life right now? And this is what he said to me, Angie, you are going to be able to know based on the frequency within voice alone who the laid down lovers are, who I consider a living sacrifice, who has counted the cost, who is following me as a disciple. You are going to be able to know by their voice alone. It's not going to be about words anymore. Listen, we've been buffaloed by words. We have hung on the words of the prominent preachers for far too long, believing everything that they're saying. And in the background, they're living a sinful, less than life, and they are not surrendered. We're going to be able to know who the surrendered people are by their voice alone. We need to stop with being infatuated by what it is that people carry. Like, let's stop being entertained. Mm-hmm. Let's use some discernment and hold one another accountable to the reality of the call of losing our lives to follow Christ.
Yeah, you know, the same access that the Apostle Paul had to the Father, we have.
Yeah.
So we can get that same revelation. We can perform the same miracles and be that. And Jesus said we'd be better than what he did.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to tap into it. Stop relying on the fancy preacher or whatever. You know, we have the same access.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the other things that God was showing me is because we've got a Jezebel issue. Mm-hmm. We have a Jezebel issue in probably all of the Western world. I know it's very prominent in America. And I've always just believed that Jezebel's after the prophets, but that's not true. What God was showing me is that Jezebel is after the seed, the pure seed that God has planted inside of each of us. She is after usurping that once it's broke open and begins to root. It's not just the prophet that she's after destroy. I know we've got the stories of, you know, Elijah, and this is mind blowing to me. Elijah does this incredible work, just great exploits, right? Speaking of the greater things, there's this great exploit, and he's proving that his God is the real God over the company of prophets, of false prophets that are following Jezebel, and this hundreds of false prophets following Jezebel, and he calls down fire on wet wood, and then when he proves that his God is better, somehow, some way, Elijah takes all of these false prophets down and kills each of them. And but here's the thing, this is the clincher, you guys. Elijah believed he was alone. Elijah believed he was a lone ranger. He did not believe that God had other prophets. This is the deception. We believe that we are alone. We believe that we are, you know, on this journey by ourselves. And when we begin to act as the lone ranger within our calling, you better believe you're about to be taken out. Mm-hmm. And usually by your own doing, by your own pride, you elevate yourself beyond where you should be and you set yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm.
The Son of God didn't even do this by himself when he was on earth.
No.
He surrounded himself.
Yeah, he called 12 men to himself to hold him accountable, to sharpen him. And here's the deal. Like, I cannot protect the God seed in me by myself. I'll reach for things that I shouldn't. I need someone to slap my hand. And you need that too. You need someone that knows what it is that God has seeded inside of your life, who can help guide your life and to keep you from going out of bounds. We need that. We need a company of people. We need to stop with the stardom, with the spotlight. Can I say crap? Because it is. And we need to be walking as a company. So the thing that got Elijah in isolation was his belief that he was alone. And where does he end up? In darkness. He ends up hiding in a cave, running from a woman whose prophets he just killed single-handedly. He just performs one of the greatest miracles, like the greatest sign. I mean, this is an incredible sign.
Fire from heaven.
Fire from heaven falls down and burns up wet wood.
And he goes and hides in a cave.
He kills an entire company of false prophets. And then, because she's going after the seed that was just broke open and rooting, it's on the backside of your biggest moment, she's coming for your seed. I'm not trying to give, you know, Jezebel any kind of unnecessary
she sucks
credence, but I'm saying, like, we need to be on alert. We need to be at each other's sides. We need to move as a company, not as an individual. Individualism needs to be cut off from our lives completely. This is how we've gotten into trouble.
You know, and here's the other thing. When you recognize Jezebel or whatever, and don't just be that person that calls it out. Oh, you're Jezebel, and leave it at that. Mm. We can do about it.
That's not helpful.
No, it's not. You know, we've had too many people that love to, like, point out faults.
I mean, I think every woman in the church in America has been called Jezebel. Any woman who's actually, you know, trying to follow Jesus, we'll say.
Yeah, but when you really don't use Jezebel as a an out to get your way.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you do find something that's wrong, don't get all high and mighty, call it out, and then leave it at that. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
All right. Quit. God didn't give you a revelation to sit on it. He gave you a revelation to do something about it.
Right. Yeah. We've got to do this together. We've got to function as one body. Like you said, you know, Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. You know, the lamb without blemish is worthy of a pure and spotless bride. And to that, like, she functions singularly. She's not duplistic within herself. Right. And so we must learn to move together as one and to have each other's back. The church has been in a civil war for way too long, fighting against one another. And I promise you, it's all over doctrine. Mm. It's not over Jesus. It would be admirable if it was about Jesus, but it's not. It's about pet doctrine. And so we need to like get over some of that. And let's make it all about Jesus. All eyes on the Lamb. We need to behold the Lamb. And that's what I have to say about that. Transition out of yesterday's fight. Enter into today's, because you have new weapons. Brand new weapons to test out. So enter into today and ask God, what is my name? Know his voice above every other voice, and there are a lot of them. But you have to know his voice. What does your name sound like in his voice? All right. It's time for a commercial break. We have the Behold conference that is in, oh my gosh, is it the 13th? Yes, it's the 13th. It starts in less than now, 4 months. 4 months, people. The Behold Conference. We have Rebecca King, Mark Birch Machen, and Laura Beth Malloy coming to Kansas in July, July 12th through the 14th. If you have not gone out and registered, please do. It is uneditedlife.org/behold. And we just need you to register because we have limited space. There is no cost to register. However, we are looking for people to partner with us financially. We're looking for people to sow in to what it is that God is doing. And here in Kansas, in the United States, and I would even say North America. And be a part of that. This is something that I think is worth sowing into. So just ask Holy Spirit how he would have you partner with us. And if you're coming, we are so excited, and our anticipation and excitement is growing by the day. And we can hardly wait for July to be here, because I just know that is going to be a phenomenal time together. Thank you, Lisa, for getting that link in there. And here's the deal. I'm putting you on notice. This is not a tenders conference. You need to come with the mentality of partnership beyond, you know, sowing financially. We believe in a royal exchange. What are you bringing to the table? Please come with a mentality of I'm coming to spill out. We need people to show up, not to pull. Mm-hmm. Listen, all three of our speakers are prophets. And one of the unfortunate thing that comes along with being a prophet is the pulling. Let's not pull on the prophet. Let's pull on the lamb. If you're going to pull on the right thing, right? Like, let's go all the way and let's pull on the Lamb of God. Let's pull on Jesus Christ. Let's make much of his name. Let's elevate him above all things and just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. I have lofty expectations of what will happen this summer in Junction City, Kansas. So you are all invited. We would love to host you. And there are links to hotels in our area, as well as the closest international airport. So with that, we will tell you goodbye and see you next time.
Bye.